That's the way I feel. A lot of people feel like that's just I'm just too tough. But I just feel like this to keep, if you keep the standards up and you keep the yes, it's gonna be harder, but it'd be less people in those and filling up those shoes in those spots. But that's just the way how I think.
And so I'm just curious, that rule that three icons can make a legend, where did that come from?
Well, it's like they've always did that. They've always, like some other, you have icons, you have super icons. Sometimes super icons will do it on their own and nobody won't say anything because they've been in ballroom longer than me. And super icons to me are pioneers or they've been around a very long time. So I respect all of their decisions or what they do. I would never say, I don't think you should have done that. If they've been there longer than me, you have every right to do whatever you want to do. That's just me being a real person at the end of the day. But we still have a younger icon council with people where if you decide you want someone to be legendary, you can have three icons to do it, you know, and get them a plaque and everything like that. And 99% of the time, the ballroom community will accept that based on the icons that are attached to that crown, that plaque. So if they feel those icons did it, you know, the correct way, they have no problem. But if they feel like someone else is doing it just to be doing it, then you'll hear the feedback on that.
So this is what I'm talking about when I say, like, okay, I didn't realize ballroom was this complex. Because it's like there are so many rules. It must take, if you're becoming part of ballroom, it must take a long time just to learn about everything.
Yeah, and it's, and you know, you have a lot of people, I feel like, in ballroom that are leaders that may want to do these things really, really fast. But with me, when I became an icon 5 years ago, I said to myself, I'm not going to deem anybody in the first 4 years, which I haven't deemed about it yet, but I just received my Hall of Fame award. So I'm accredited. I can deem someone without having a lot of people, because they're going to look at me and say, well, Sebastian definitely, you know, he opened the door for the South. So I wouldn't have those problems. But sometimes you may have other people that will, but I wouldn't just be deeming people because I have the power. I would still, you know, call someone who's probably been in ballroom longer than me and say, hey, get on this ticket with me. And then I might call somebody who's been in ballroom, you know, not as long as me, get on this ticket with me, you know, and us three together, you know, I just do it out of respect for ballroom, but I would never, like, just do it one night and just say, I'm just sick of this, I'm tired of this, so I try to go, I try to do everything the right way.
Okay. This is the question Marco had, is what three things would you like the younger generation to know about ballroom? Do you need to drink some water?
Let's see.
I don't know what he meant by the younger generation.
I want the younger generation to know that it takes time in ballroom, that being in ballroom is not a speed race, that if you take your time and you do exactly what you need to do, you can have breaks, you can have times where you're away from ballroom. Ballroom isn't going anywhere. It's going to be here forever. There's no rush to get to a finish line that's not there. Your life can continue on in ballroom or outside of ballroom, and it should not offset what you need to do in reality. So that's one thing that they need to know about ballroom. Another thing is that you're going to meet really nice people, and you're going to meet really bad people, and you need to be able to separate yourself from things that's not going to benefit you, you know, in a positive way. That's meaning, you know, drugs, sex activities, just doing the wrong things. Also, being in ballroom, you need to know that there will be people who you consider them as parents, and there will be people that will be your parents, and they should just be your friends. And you need to determine who are your leaders and who are just your friends. You can't listen to everybody that's actually trying to tell you to do things that you know that is really not correct. You know, it's okay to be friends with different people and do things and learn things, but sometimes you have to stop those things and grasp reality. You must remain a true believer that outside of ballroom, there are other things that exist that you need to do. If you are really doing what you're supposed to do in ballroom, you should be doing those same things out of ballroom. That's the purpose of ballroom, to give you growth and give you the confidence you need to go outside to have that job that you always wanted, to live that lifestyle you believe exists. To be the person you always believe you thought you were when nobody didn't believe in you. Take that outside of ballroom and live a productive life.
Tell me more about that. Purpose of ballroom is to take those things you learn in ballroom and take them out in your life.
Yeah. Ballroom will help you to build your confidence. Like I said before, with me, it helped me with having confidence on the floor. Outside of ballroom, I should still have that same type of confidence and drive. Not to say that you can't be an executive, but there are other jobs out there that if you really come to ballroom and you're walking executive categories, you may be executive somewhere else. You may be executive at a store, but you should be taking everything that you get from here and going out of the streets, filling out applications, going online to get jobs if you don't have one. Or if you walking performance and you always wanted to be a dancer, you should be trying to find gigs or anything that'll help to assist you financially. You know, there are music videos and people who are celebrity singers and things. They're doing all kind of things. You try to connect. It should be like a web system of connection, you know, to help you along the way. I don't think that anyone in ballroom is just doing it just to be doing it because they don't have nothing else to do. I think they're all looking for some type of, like, validation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes validation on the floor should reflect in validation in real life, you know. Yes, I do dress up. Yes, I do go to balls, and I walked balls before. But I do feel good when I go to church, when I look good, and my pastor tell me, we really want you here. These kids really miss you. When I get those phone calls from them, from the pastor or from my friends or from different elders in the church, they want to know, where am I? And I always tell them, you guys know I'm a part of the ballroom scene. I have to go and help my kids. They were like, oh, well, we want to go. We want to come see. I was like, okay. I think I'm going to bring a few people to the ball when they have them here. You know, let them see what I've been doing for a while. Yeah.
Okay. You also said that you can come – kind of like become a new person in ballroom. I think that's really interesting. So there's an element of fantasy to ballroom. Like you can like literally become a different person through the different categories, but then you're saying that you can bring that out into real life as well.
Yeah, a lot of people when they first come to ballroom, we have like we're inside this cocoon or we're in a shell. We really don't know what's going on. Our eyes are closed. Once we get into ballroom and we find out that we fit in, we start to build our confidence. A lot of people's confidence just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And once you get to a point where you're able to interact with people, you're not as shy as you used to be, you can have a conversation with an elder in ballroom, you should be able to go outside of ballroom and have that same conversation with an elder on the corner or an elder at your church or an elder in a business opportunity or going on an interview. Like, all those things should matter. You should always look someone in the eye at this point. You should be able to stand and believe who you are. You know, if you can get on the floor and find your balance on the floor and learn how to move around in a room full of people, it should be easy to talk to one person one-on-one about a job.
Since you mentioned church, I'm just wondering if you see any connection between your life in church and your life in ballroom, or is it completely separate?
No, I think it's all the same. Church, I'm working with kids. Ballroom, I'm working with people that are coming in. They're considered kids in ballroom, so I'm actually leading them that way. And then part-time, I work as a dental assistant with kids, so I'm surrounded by kids all day. And I just feel like that with me being involved with kids and being around them all the time, it just keeps me in a space where I'm constantly thinking about what's next or what should I be trying to let them know coming up or the ones that are now becoming into manhood, what they need to be doing, because like now I'm 47, so I have a lot of experience on the good side and the bad side where I can just say, hey, look, when I did this or I did that, this is what happened. These are the possibilities that could happen. And I think a lot of people don't view their lives 5 to 10 years in front of what it is today. I can see what I need to be doing 5 years ahead, and a lot of people just live for today. And I think when you can talk to someone who has been there and understand some of the things that they're doing maybe wrong and what they need to do to change them, it's easily to assist them with that if they believe and they think that you really do care about them.
So tell me, Baltimore, when did you move here, and what have you experienced with ballroom in Baltimore, and what do you think is unique to ballroom in Baltimore?
I used to come to Baltimore in 95 for balls, actually, but I moved to Baltimore 10 years ago, right after Obama became in office, and that was 10 years ago. Ballroom in Baltimore now, it's totally different from back then because we have new people that are actually in control of the ballroom scene here, where a lot of balls are now being done in D.C. and a lot of other balls are being done in Virginia. You have a ballroom system right here, but Baltimore ballroom scene was really like an underdog city. A lot of people didn't want to come to Baltimore because New York was so close by, D.C. was there. So Baltimore really got the bad end of the stick for years. But believe it or not, Baltimore has the most talent out of any city there is, like with the different genders, the different categories. They all live here in Baltimore. I just believe that Baltimore just never created a system where they can actually make sure their own city was actually represented the correct way as far as it needed to have growth inside of the city where people understood Baltimore is the place to be, because that's what it is. Baltimore is the place to be. When I decided to move here, I already knew that because I used to come here years ago, and I just think that like now, Baltimore is definitely on the right path. And, yeah, it was definitely an underdog city.
Well, I guess just generally, not just for ballroom, but Baltimore is an underdog. Like, when I moved here, everybody told me, oh, have you watched The Wire?
Right. See, I think that's what people think. Baltimore is just a bad city. But Baltimore, to me, is just a city. It has very low income. Like, it's just in a state of being in a depression for a very long time, so it never got its own chance to survive because of crime and violence, and all that happens because of the low income status that people have, and it causes, you know, different issues to come out that's not positive. But Baltimore, to me, has more funding as far as grants for assisting people of nowadays, and I just think that when you try to compete with New York and D.C., those two cities swallows Baltimore up because it's in the middle. And people will ride past Baltimore to go to D.C., ride past D.C. to go to New York, but Baltimore was always holding down ballroom. And that, you had the House of Revlon here during the time, and you had other houses, but the Revlons were definitely a big house in D.C. You had the House of Con. And when I used to come here, all I knew was the House of Revlon in Baltimore. And I used to go to Buns on Lexington Street. And, you know, that's where the Revlons were, all of them. I mean, it was just a lot of Revlons. And then I knew the father of the house, Tony. He's still their father now. I knew a lot of their film queens with trans women. They were in the house. They don't walk balls anymore, but I would just see them at balls. I was a judge at the Buns Club years ago. And it would be a nice thing because we would just travel here and then we'll leave. We'll actually be coming from New York, and on our way back, we'll stop in Baltimore because it was a ball the next night. And we'll get a hotel room at the Holiday Inn. At the time, the Holiday Inn didn't have the horseshoe beside it, and it was just right there on the corner. We used to stay right there every time we came to Baltimore, and we would go to the ball that night. We had a really good time.
And then how have you seen a ballroom change in Baltimore since you moved here?
There was a point where they were having balls a lot, but now the last 5 years, there wasn't that many balls that they were having. But as far as the last 2 years and the years coming up, they're going to have more balls. I think after they created the coalition of different parents and stuff and wanted to support the city and make the city grow, I think now you're going to see Baltimore take off.
And you're talking about the Ballroom Coalition?
Yes. The Ballroom Coalition was not in play. I think we just started 5 years ago, so it wasn't in play at all. But I think now, because a lot of people get into their status, like you have Marco, you have me now. The reason why I didn't do a lot of things when I first moved here, because you have to think of it as if me from the outside coming in, and if I was here to do some things, you already had leaders here, so I wanted to see how the city was before I could actually, like, get a lot of people's trust, because people didn't really know me. They knew of me, but they didn't know me. They didn't know what my intentions were. They probably thought I was coming in and take over the scene. But after being here 10 years and they see I've been working hard with them and making sure that, you know, some things going, and I just received another status, so they know I'm here for the duration. I'm not just here to make money. So they're ready to take the next steps on making the city great again.
Okay, and maybe the last question I'll ask you is about the ball here. How does this ball fit into, you know, your whole, you know, 20-plus years in ballroom?
For me, the ball at the Peabody, to me, it's an accomplishment to me. I'm not from Baltimore, but I feel like just being attached to it, and I believe, like, my house and House of Scada, we've always liked to have opulence, and I feel like because it's here inside the library, and I've seen it, and I know what it looks like, it just reminds me of an Escada ball. And because of that, I feel like the city needs to see there's a beautiful side of ballroom as well as a mediocre side of ballroom. Like, sometimes not all ballroom places or venues are really well kept or historical. And for this place to be that historical, to have it here in Baltimore, I think it's sending out a message that, you know, yes, we don't live in New York. No, we don't live in Philadelphia, but we do have some place here that care about us just as the other cities do. So I just feel, for me, being a part of that is going to make the city even grow even quicker, because a lot of people are now coming for this event just to see it. And with the right team behind it, and you have the coalition behind it, a lot of people are going to be here, and they're going to be wild. You know, they went on the site, they see it. But I feel like the pictures don't do enough for them. I think when they actually see it, they're going to be like, wow.
Will that be a moment?
That's going to be a moment by itself. Yeah, that would be a moment. And to see everybody dressed up and doing different things, because I think this is the first time where they're going to have categories that they actually read, you know, the little portions of the categories, and it tells you what they need to do. It's really like upscale. And I think this is what they need, because ballroom, sometimes you have to have the person do more than what is expected. And a lot of people that don't participate, it's because they don't want to do a little bit more. But this will make a moment for someone. This would be definitely a moment.
You said the House of Escada likes opulence. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Why? Like, what is it about opulence?
Well, ballroom is actually, it's always been a place of opulence, but as far as when you've seen other houses do it, you try to do it a little bit better. And, you know, there are other houses out there, and I have to give them credit. They do a very good job when it comes down to ballroom, as far as trophies, as far as the look, as far as the well-planned, thought-out locations and everything like that. But just to have a venue like this, it's just like, it just intensifies. It just makes you be like, oh, my God. So you don't really have to put a lot of things into it because it's already here. But sometimes just imagine just getting a warehouse with nothing in it, and you have to create the space. Like, a lot of people are not going to leave their valuables out for you to have a function in their space like this, you know, unless, you know, a lot of things are changed. But because it's in an environment like this, you get an opportunity to share it with the public. And it's, you don't, they're not paying an admission. It's, everybody get a chance to see what's going on in Baltimore. And it just raises ballroom from Baltimore from 5 to 105.
Okay, I'm going to push you a little bit. Tell me more about Opulence, because I guess that's what, when I told you before, like when I first walked, when I walked in here the first time, well, first of all, I had a friend who wrote a book about ballroom, and he actually organizes a ballroom event in Berlin called Opulence. That's the name of it. And took me to a ball there, and I was like, oh, wow, this is exciting. And so the moment I walked into this library and saw it, it was just kind of immediately, I was like, okay, there has to be a ball here.
Right.
But what is it about Opulence? Why is ballroom so identified with Opulence? What do you get out of that?
Well, for me, I get the fact that it's a part of fashion, it's a part of art. Ballroom is a combination of everything, and if we want to look back on our past and see where it came from, you would want it to look like this in your mind. You know, even though you may think of what happened back in 1921 or 1935, when you think about it, you think about a golden time, a golden era. You think about style, you think about fashion, and I think these type of things where ballroom was driven off of is the style, the creativity, the fashion, the feathers, the beads, the diamonds, the way they presented themselves, you know, the Marilyn Monroe, all these different figures of ballroom. And Opulence is surrounded by normally the people that they use to describe these different things. Like if we say Marilyn Monroe, We think about gorgeous, we think about pretty, we think about perfect, we think about, you know, the attitude. So when we talk about different people in times, like all those different things matters. And I think because of that, we wanted to create a space where it was just like a Garden of Eden for us. It was a heaven. It was a place where you come in through the doors. No matter how bad your life was and no matter how worse or where you lived when you came into this place, it just reminds you of this is where I want to be. This is where I've been wishing for my whole life. I found the place where I want to be. And I think that's what drew a lot of people in. The fabric drapings along the curtains or the big balloons, the silver confetti, the cameras, the lights. Those are places that people want to be in life. So if you create that moment for them, you know, it may be inside of it might be inside of a bubble, but I mean, you create that moment, a lot of people want to come inside and see what it's like. And I think Opulence and art, music, fashion, all of those things help to create that environment.
That's a good place to stop.